Let's get our Bibles open back to the longest psalm in the entire Bible, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 119. The special thing about this psalm is that it is divided up into 22 sections. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and the psalmist, possibly David, has taken on a creative project where each section of this psalm celebrates God's word, God's communication to us. But it does so by starting each line in that section with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It is an amazing design structure. Very tough. Those of you that have skill in that area, you should try it where you sit down and do like six lines, starting with the successive 26 letters of the alphabet, celebrating the Bible. And you'll see just how tough it is, especially when you get to things like Q and Y and Z. We are working our way through each of the sections, highlighting the letter. So far, we've got Aleph and Beth out of the way, A and B. Today, Psalm 119, verse 17, is the section that starts with Gimel, which is technically, we would call it the letter G, but actually, it becomes eventually our English letter C as well. For example, the word gimel is where we ultimately get our word camel, with the letter C, the hard sounding C at the beginning of it. So let's see how David or the psalmist celebrates God's word, starting with each line with the letter gimel. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Now, it is interesting. The first word in that line looks exactly like the Hebrew word for camel. And the idea is to bring something good to somebody else, you know, on the back of a camel, a transport animal. So the psalmist is saying, bring me something good. Bring me, as your servant, something good that I may live and keep your word. So let me do things your way. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And I've emphasized already that throughout Psalm 119, you just see synonym after synonym after synonym for the word of God. And so the psalmist says, let me read things that are wonderful out of your word. And really, folks, we need to have this sort of celebratory attitude toward the written word of God. Verse 19, I am a sojourner on the earth. The word for sojourner in Hebrew starts with the letter gimel. I'm a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. So I'm a foreigner. I'm a non-resident here on planet Earth. Don't let me miss out on your commandments. That was important for the Israeli people because they were supposed to treat non-Israelis living in their country with special respect and care, because a lot of them may have been there in order to meet God. Verse number 20. My soul is consumed with longings for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. So contrast here. The righteous person wants to know more about God's word, while God's word speaks strongly against those who don't want anything to do with it, which is exactly what Paul says in the New Testament. He says that the Word of God, the law, was not intended for people that would behave themselves. It was intended for those that would misbehave. And they needed something to tell them to knock it off. Verse 22, take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. And David, who may be writing this, in fact, I'll just confess, I think it very likely may be David. But he went through a time where people were always plotting against him, trying to do him in. And David tried to stick with God, meditated on God's word. Meditate is to fill your mind, think about it, chew on it, memorize it, talk about it. And so that's what this psalmist says they're going to do with God's statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So they make me happy, and they teach me what I need to know for day-to-day action. Next section is the letter Dalit. Dalit, which I think you could understand, it's the letter D in our English alphabet. And so every line starts with that letter. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. So we start out with the concept of being close to dying, but needing the life-giving power of God's word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. So a little bit of confession here, apparently. So I'm confessing to you that I've got issues. You responded to me, presumably with forgiveness, with mercy, with compassion. And so the request is, teach me. Teach me what I need to do and need to know in order to be more like you. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. So I'll just keep thinking about it. I'll make it a part of my process throughout the day. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. That's very similar to the first line in this section, that feel like you're dying, feel like you're losing grip on life. You need God's word to make you strong again, to face it. Put false ways far from me. Graciously teach me your law. So help me not do the bad things of life, to think that that's the right thing to do. Teach me the right thing to do instead from your word. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. It is a free will choice of the heart that we read from and embrace the Word of God for how we live our lives. To be holy as God is holy. And so that is very important in this psalmist's attitude toward God. I cling to your testimonies, O he who is. Let me not be put to shame. So when we order our life according to God's way, then we can have a reasonable expectation that we will not be caught up in something sinful that's going to bring shame to us, to the people around us, to our family, to our friends, and more importantly, to God himself. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart, when you make it make my heart, the place where I make my choices, bigger, wider, broader, more understanding. I think the idea that's coming out here is that the more you know from God's word, the more you understand what God expects. And so that is a goal for every mature believer. The next section is the letter he. It's a very breathy H sound. It's interesting that the Greek equivalent letter is a vowel. It's the letter epsilon, the e sound. The Hebrew alphabet is all consonants, technically. But some of those consonants have a related vowel sound that they represent. And so that's the one that we're looking at here. So just think a very soft H. Verse 33. Teach me, O he who is, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end. So show me what I need to know, and I'll stick with it. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. So all my choices, I want them to be ordered by your word. Let me stress again, when you see the word law here, it's not being used in that very precise idea of the Ten Commandments or the 600-some different commandments that's in the Torah. It is the word Torah, but you can tell from all the variety of synonyms used in this psalm that it is a much broader sense. It is the word of God as the moral code of God that we're talking about here. It does take written form, but it's probably more in line with what the half-brother of Jesus, James, says in his first letter in the New Testament period when he talks about the royal law, the thing that Jesus references when he talks about the greatest commandment being love God with 100% of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. The law is bound up in these two parts to this one great commandment. And so that's what you should think when you see the word law in Psalm 119. Verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. See, I love your word. I love your moral concepts, your moral base, and what you want me to do. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. So make my heart lean in toward doing things your way and not lean back into the sinful things of the world that are all about me, 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 me. What can I get out of something? Verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. So let me focus on your word, your way, not on what can I get out of stuff for myself. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. The promise, the ultimate promise, is to be with God. When God created humanity, he created us, male and female, to be in his presence forever. And that is the ultimate promise. We want that confirmation by relationship. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of relationship. Verse 39, turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. When you develop a relationship with God, then you develop a sensitivity to his negative reaction and response to doing things differently than his way. It's the same thing we had as children. When we love our parents and we hated to see them saddened by our actions, that when we we disobeyed them and disappointed them. It hurt our hearts when we shamed them by our actions. It hurt us. And so that's, I think, what he's kind of getting at here is God is our Father, and we want him to be proud of us, not saddened by us and needing to discipline us. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. So I want to do things your way so that I can live forever in your presence. Next section, some of your Bibles might actually have the more old idea of this letter. It might have Vav, V-A-V. I prefer the updated version, which is Waw, W-A-W, because this letter does represent what we would call the letter W, Wah, Wah. But it does some other heavy lifting, too. If you listen to how I pronounce it here, Wah, Wah, that's the sound. You can hear the shortened form of U, And so this letter sometimes represents that sound as a vowel in the Hebrew language. But it also stands in for the tightening of the mouth in that same form where we go, oh, oh, oh. So the long O sound as well. I'm just trying to share with you some fun ideas about the Hebrew alphabet as we go through here. But here, every line starts with this letter. And there's a little bit of a, I could say it's a cheat, but it's more of a tweak. As you know, this has got to be tough assignment for writing a song like this. The letter Wah is actually also the word and. So one of the ways that you can get away with starting every line in this part of the Psalm 119 is you start a lot of the lines with the word and. It works. So verse 41. And let your steadfast love, okay, let your steadfast love, your chesed, you know, the fact that God likes us, wants what's best for us, let your chesed, your steadfast love, come to me, O he who is, your salvation according to your promise. One of the other things we've talked about for Hebrew poetry is that it is a parallelism sometimes, or a contrasting between two lines. So the first phrase in verse 41, steadfast love, is a synonym for the second clause, salvation. So salvation and steadfast love go together. And so we've got God's name, Yahweh, in close proximity to the word salvation again. So we actually have Jesus' name again in Hebrew, Yahushua, he who is salvation, kind of encoded into the text, and we've got love as well right there. So I can't help it. I want to see the gospel story everywhere I can in God's word encoded. So let your chesed, your steadfast love, come to me through Jesus, through your salvation, according to your promise, which is the messianic promise through the ages. Verse 42, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. So the celebration here is God's word has always promised that he's going to work things out for our salvation. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And this is what allows us to stand up against the assailants out there that say that we can't be saved or there is no hope for us. Because, folks, there is. His name is Yahushua, he who is salvation, Jesus. Verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. So we want truth on our lips, not lies. And by putting God's word into our hearts, into our minds, that's going to help it come out of our lips, come out of our mouths on a regular basis. Verse 44, I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. So we don't feel jammed in by life, because with God's word in our hearts, guiding our steps, we know the way. We have options for living for God. And so that gives us, I think, much more confidence. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. So it doesn't matter how powerful, how prominent the person is that we might be talking to. If we end up talking to them about the Word of God, by knowing the Word of God, by living the Word of God, we have nothing to be ashamed about. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Don't you love God's word? I sure hope you do. I would assume that many of you are longtime students of God's word because of that very fact. You love it. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Now, David, if he's the one writing this, has a handwritten copy of at least the book of Deuteronomy that's sitting in his throne room. Maybe he takes it to his bedroom at night in his residence section of his palace, because he is required by the Mosaic law to read from that handwritten copy every single day of his reign. And so this might be him talking about, I'm going to reach my hand out for those commandments that I love, because I need to read them some more. And I'm going to meditate on them. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to live my life by them. Folks, that's our attitude we should have toward our Bibles. Stretch those hands out for those Bibles on a daily basis. Even if your Bible is electronic and it's an app on your phone, stretch your hand out for that app, that device, bring up that app, and then meditate, chew on, think about, memorize from God's word. That's the point of Psalm 119. Verse 49 marks the beginning of the Zayin part. That's the letter Z, as you might expect. Remember your word to your servant. The word for remember starts with the letter Z in Hebrew. In which you have made me hope. So God's word is full of promises. And so when we talk to God about his word, sometimes we say, remember your promises, the ones I've been hoping for. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. One of the ways we get through the tough times is to remember God promised us there will not always be tough times. He will get us to the other side. Remember, one of my favorite New Testament passages that I try to tell you to memorize, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No time of testing has come upon you except that which is common to all humanity. God is faithful in that he will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with that period of testing will provide a way of escape that you can endure it. That's hanging on God's word, just like the psalmist is saying here. When I think of your rules from old, I take comfort, O he who is. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. So I get upset when I see people blowing your word off. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. So when I've moved around, I still sing from your word. I remember your name in the night, O he who is, and I keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. So he even sings in the middle of the night. Well, I think we can get through this one last section, the Keth section. This is a hard H sound It comes out like a very breathy K sound in our English language. And so each line starts with that. He who is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. So God is our inheritance. And we promise, because of that relationship, that we're going to keep his directives, his words. We're going to do things his way. So please, God, be gracious to me based on that relationship. When I think on your way, on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten, I do not delay to keep your commandments. So when I'm looking over my lifestyle, I'm doing it so that I will turn my feet back onto the path of the Word, because that's where I want to be. I don't want to be on the bad path. I want to be on the good path. Verse 61, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. So even if the bad guys kind of lasso me, look like they're trying to get the upper hand on me, I'm not going to deviate from your word. I'm sticking to your word. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep, and so you just start talking to God, start talking about his word. Maybe you read from his scripture. That's what he's talking about here. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. That relationship is horizontal. Those that have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with them. The earth, O he who is full of your chesed, your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Come back next time. We'll get a little bit more into the word.